regards to these verses we just read, we're actually going to sing a song later in the service. It's called As the Deer. The longing of our hearts is the living water that this deer is longing for. It's the spiritual water that comes only from God. This is something we spoke up many times in Sunday school. We are seeking as a deer that has been running and panting and longing for the Spirit of God. And as I said before, brethren, take up this subject.
Thank you, brother. As the deer pants for the water, so my soul pants for you, O God. When I was making the decision many years ago on whether or not to join the Church of the Brethren, I set out on a journey to discover the history of this body of brothers and sisters in Christ. What I found was a people with a rich history that I fell in love with. A rich history that spoke to me of passion for Christ. A rich history that caused individuals to live in a way that I wasn't sure was possible before I read about them. What I discovered was a people that said it was important to live the Christian life on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, that it was just as important to live the Christian life on those days and all the rest of the days as it was for an hour or two or three on Sunday. I found a people that were willing to ask questions about whether putting lightning rods on their barns was offensive to God, because it might send the message that they didn't trust him to protect their investments. What I discovered was a people that wore plain clothes not to draw attention to their piety, but to keep from drawing attention to themselves, so that God would be glorified. I found a people that wanted no hypocrisy in their lives, people that wanted to live exactly what they believed. I found a people that felt called to live as closely to the Scriptures as possible. Nonviolence was practiced to the fullest. Baptism was by triune immersion, meaning dunking three times, because Matthew 28 says, baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I found a people so devout that sharing in the bread and the cup only occurred within a full threefold love feast, because Jesus also instructed us, just as he said with the bread and the cup, do this in remembrance with me, he instructed us to do as he did and wash one another's feet. The Church of the Brethren history is full of this kind of living in the fullness of Scripture, in the fullness of Christ. Over the years, the brethren have called this way of life another way of living. Now, by that term, we see that it means that it's something that's not the normal place we might naturally go. It's another way of living. A way of living lifted up as the way of Christ. Now, there is something important that I want to lift up here, and that is that another way of living is not the unique or the exclusive property or the birthright of the Church of the Brethren. Many Christians of various stripes live this out every day and have so for generations. But it is a wonderful part of our heritage that we sometimes forget. And it's an important part of our heritage that we can lean on to guide us in our walk with Christ today. When the first brethren were baptized in the Eder River in Germany in 1708, they risked losing everything they had on this earth. Believers' baptism was not accepted by the state church of the time and was considered an act of rebellion against the very church they belonged to. The wealthy Alexander Mack lost his business and all of his earthly wealth, but gained a richer life with Christ as he and the others set out to live not by what the world demanded, but as they felt God desired. And they did this not because baptism was at the center of their vision or way of living, but because Jesus and his way was at the center. Maybe now you can hear Alexander Mack writing or singing those words, "Count well the cost." It speaks of dying to the world, of dying to self, so that we will lose our love of the world and of the flesh and turn all of our devotion to Jesus. It is trusting Jesus for everything. It is longing for Jesus more than anything. In our psalm this morning, in Psalm 42, the only thing the writer longs for is to be in the presence of God. He longs to worship. He longs to know God's comfort, God's protection. He needs it like a deer who has been on the run from hunters needs water to survive. Brothers and sisters, have you ever been that thirsty for God? Have you ever desired God more than anything else? Have you ever desired God more than you've desired the love of another person? Have you ever desired God more than you love finding your dream employment? Have you ever desired God more than you desired having a child? Brothers and sisters, let me ask you now to picture something that you have prayed for more than anything else. Do you desire God more than you wanted Him or still want Him to answer that prayer? This is the mark that I see in so many early brethren and so many of the early saints of the church. When I read the questions they asked, the struggles they encountered, the way that they pursued after God, ultimately, that is what I fell most in love with the early brethren. They had become content with the world, but they had not become content with their faith. I don't mean that they lacked trust. What I mean is that they were content with whatever they had in life, but they continually strived to know more and more and more of God. To know more and more of Jesus. They were like Paul when he said that he was content no matter his lot in life, rich or poor. That he could be content either way. But Paul was never content with his knowledge of Jesus. He always sought after more. He continued to strive to know the fullness of Jesus and his resurrection. Too often today, brothers and sisters, our striving is for earthly gain when we are already blessed beyond measure. Yet we seek after Jesus with so little zeal, let alone the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. And then we wonder why, after achieving our earthly dreams and desires, we have no more satisfaction than we had before. We have no more love than we had before. We have no more joy than we had before. A.W. Tozer writes in his book, the book, The Root of the Righteous, "Contentment with earthly goods is the mark of a saint. Contentment with our spiritual state is a mark of inward blindness. The man who believes he has arrived will not go any farther. From his standpoint, it would be foolish to do so. The snare is to believe we have arrived when we have not. We fear extremes and shy away from too much ardor in religion, as if it were possible to have too much love or too much faith or too much holiness. Religious complacency is encountered almost everywhere among Christians these days, and its presence is a sign and a prophecy, for every Christian will become at last what he desires God to make him. We are all the sum total of our hungers. The great saints have all had thirsting hearts. Their cry has been, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Their longing after God all but consumed them. It propelled them onward and upward to the heights toward which less ardent Christians look with languid eye and entertain no hope of reaching." Tozer's words kind of hit us right between the eyes. But you see, at the center of everything we are, of everything we claim to be, as followers of Christ, at the center of it all is Jesus. The center of our hunger and thirst must be Jesus and nothing else. It must be at the center of all that we are. all that we believe, all that we do. Because all that we are is sinners saved by grace, by the grace that comes out of that center, Jesus. So our worship, our mission, our study, our evangelism, our stewardship, even our Christian fellowship comes out of that center that is Jesus. Amen? Amen. Will you pray with me? Oh, Father in heaven, as we come before you this morning, as we bow our heads in reverent awe of who you are, we come confessing that whether we take pride in faster horses or fancier cars, whether we take pride in bigger barns or fancier homes, we confess, Lord, that when we do these things, we are showing that our desire for the world is greater than our desire for you. We pray for your healing power to work within us, Lord. To focus our desires, to reveal your truth, we pray for the power to surrender our will. We pray for the strength to turn our back on the evil one. We pray for our desire to be only in you. Lead us by your strong hand into the ways of righteousness, into your holiness. Show us your ways. Reveal to us your purpose. And guide us to live more fully every day as your children. We thank you, Lord, for your word that guides us and strengthens us. And we praise you and give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.